Welcome, everyone. How did you sleep? Who had dreams and visions last night? Did you know you're still having dreams and visions? Who tells you when you're awake and when you're not awake? How do you know? You don't know. You hypnotically walk through life believing this is reality unless you are living in the spirit realm. And now you're going to start understanding what it means to be awake. In worship last night, you got a taste of what it is to be awake. You can recreate that every day of your life, but it takes consciousness. You can't live in this collective unconscious society and think you are awake. What does that mean? When you understand what that means, you're awake. There's no menu in the spirit realm. The way we're taught is learn this and become that. The spirit realm says, be who you are. The language of this dimension is, it will be, or it's coming, or it's going to happen. That's not the spirit. There's no verbs in the spirit realm. You are the verb. And you act as one when you are conscious because you lose who you think you are. All of this just sounds like words until you can really, really focus on your responses to all conditions in this physical dimension. If your first response is to protect your image, you're living in this dimension. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Every now and then, just give me a nod so I don't look like I'm looking at the dead out here. Wake up, Lazarus. You guys look beautiful. You look beautiful. Don't worry about your image. You look beautiful. So let's pick up a little bit where we were last night. Okay, yesterday you saw a picture of the fountain that signified the way you think and feel. That produces the waves. In the quantum realm, they call that energy. And then when this invisible energy becomes manifested, they call it particle. In the language of the spirit, we call this spiritual, these waves, and we call particle flesh. So when God created Adam, he changed his spirit into flesh, so he became a spiritual, physical being. So the image you see in the mirror every day is your flesh body, but it should be a spiritual, physical being. But because we have been so contaminated and corrupted by church doctrines and our unconscious beliefs, we are more flesh than we are spirit. So we are basically physically spirit. So the last Adam shows up on the scene and he says, okay, you've got to be reborn. So he goes to Nicodemus, comes to him and he says, okay, you're a Pharisee and a student of the law. I'm going to blow your mind. You need to be reborn. Let's read that conversation because it's so exciting every time you get to read it. John 3, if you did nothing in this Bible but read the red letters and understood them, your life would be 180 degrees different. Because the words that they recorded in this thing they call a Bible that are Jesus's words are spirit and life. But the more acquainted you become with the spirit realm, you'll hear words that are not in this book. And that's where revelation arrives. Thank you, Lord. First verse, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Yes. This verse shows you that he was under the law. They knew he was from God because of what? Signs and wonders. What? How is the church today any different? It's not. It's still living under the law. And you're going to see it more clear as we go on. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What was Jesus' priority for every human being coming into this planet? Seek first the kingdom of God. Before you look for a job, before you raise a family, before you go to the grocery store, before you cuss out your neighbor, find the kingdom of God. That was it. I mean, you could hang up everything else Jesus did under that one precept. And that's why most people walk through this life sound asleep, because they don't see the kingdom of God. Somehow they think because they have this physical body and they've arrived on this three-dimensional planet, this is their way to have one foot in heaven and stay on earth and try to make this earth look like where the other foot is. Oh, but we've got Christians in politics. We're going to change the world one track at a time. Can you see the kingdom of God? Then you're sound asleep. You're operating in a program. And you're going to miss the greatest opportunity you have as a human being to live spiritually physical. When you live spiritually physical, your doctor bills go away. Your education pursuits disappear. Your journey after money evaporates, because everything you chase begins to chase you, because you are the governing agent in this field. You know what the governing agent is? Einstein had a saying. He said, all matter responds to the governing agent in the field. Throw up the picture, Adrian, if you would, of the magnet, please. The governing agent that Einstein was talking about was the Spirit of God. So the governing agent in this particular field will be this magnet. This is the energy. This is who you are as spirit. And this is all physical particles. Homes, money, health, education, all of these are spiritual, are connected spiritually. The illusion that we live in while we're unconscious and asleep is that we can control this. If I get 5 PhDs and I have a lot of money and I come from a popular name or prosperity, then I can control everything that happens in my life. That's one of the hypnotic illusions that was passed on into every bloodline from the mentality of Satan before Jesus threw him in hell. That you could be in control. That's the whole purpose of surrender. That's the whole purpose of salvation. Anyway, back to the collapsed wife. Don't let me get sidetracked. Jesus answered and said unto him, most assuredly I say to you, unless you're born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Keep your finger there and go to Genesis, the first chapter. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This is the picture of a physically spiritual man. Void, waters, Spirit hovering over water. You are born of God, which is Spirit, which is the waters and the Holy Spirit. But when you become flesh, you leave the Spirit and become flesh. The second verse of Genesis describes humanity. They can do everything they want to change that condition, but the governing field is the Spirit. They can learn all the scripture verses and quote them. They can say all the names of God. They can do everything physically. It won't change your condition spiritually, which is why they resort back to the Old Testament mentality of the law to create religion throughout societies all across the planet and tell you to wait for Jesus. He's coming to save you. Not happening. Jesus told you, you got to find the kingdom. It's already in you. It's not out here. It's in you. But unless you immerse yourself in the Spirit and the water, which is Christ, you won't return to where you were from the beginning. From the beginning, we were in Him. We were in the void in Genesis. It is one. as one. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that was born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answers for all humanity. How can this be? Give me some steps. Give me a menu. Give me something I can follow to get to this. And religion is happy to give you some doctrines and things to believe. But as we said last night, it's just a circular trip. Jesus is explaining something that will take you out of this dimension into the spirit dimension, where your memories of the past and your thoughts of the future are irrelevant. If you're formed in the image of God, which is spirit, what kind of image do you have of that? If he said you were formed after an image of a frog, you could have an image of what that is. But when you use language that's not familiar in this dimension, you're lost. So what is that transition? What does it look like? Jesus came to show that you can live spiritually physical on this life because he was continually seeing what his Father did. He said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless he says it. So it's absolutely possible to live in this dimension and see the kingdom of God. If Jesus can do it, he says, go and do likewise, right? See, that means we can do it. And the key is, how do you become more spirit than physical? So Jesus is saying you have to become spirit, not flesh, to see the kingdom. Physicists call this the collapse wave theory. So you have to reverse the curse and believe that you are more spirit than flesh. And the way you do that is you're reborn through the womb of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus used the womb of a woman to be born flesh. Who is the kingdom of God? Can you say Jesus? He came to not only complete the law and the prophets, but to establish the kingdom again on this planet by becoming the womb for all human beings to enter to see the kingdom. That's why Jesus talks about the wind. You can hear it, but you can't see it. But it's here all the time. The kingdom of God is here all the time. It's not coming, it's here. Our hypnotic belief is that we have to go somewhere to get something. And the reason we believe that is because we've been conditioned, if we can't see it, feel it, taste it, smell it, touch it, it's not here. Is the wind here? Can you see it, taste it, smell it, touch it? But it's here. It's not attached to this planet. It moves where the Spirit moves it. But that means you have to lose the ability to think you have to be in control, and that takes trust that you don't want to release. We're trained to be suspicious of everything because we don't trust anybody but us. If you knew how helpless you were, you might have to change your pants. But that's why God is so good. Even in your rejection of his ability to want to help you because you want to control, he still never lets go. So until you can see the kingdom of God, you can't understand the language of the Spirit. Because the way the Spirit of God speaks is foreign to those who don't trust him. He tells you things that are absolutely go against what you would do in the natural. Not to test you, but to give you something better. His conscious desire for you is to ever ascend. Remember we talked about last night going from a circle to a spiral? That's only available to those who enter God's kingdom mentally first. You have to know that you know that God is doing what you need to spiral instead of circle your whole. It's easy to wake up every morning and see the worst case scenario in your life. That's what the collective unconscious does every day, because they are fearful. And that fear is what I call gravity. You want to be weightless? When you become fearless, you become limitless. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you believe. Listen to what Jesus says. Find the kingdom of God as priority in your life. Everything changes. Let's look in Matthew 6 where he gives that instruction. It's 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is trying to get to the level where he can tell these fearful, frightened people who are being controlled by Satan at that time, by the way. He's explaining to them, look, right now, tomorrow has its own troubles. You're just responsible for the now. Are you conscious now? Not about what happened yesterday or is going to happen tomorrow. Now is eternity and it is the kingdom. But when I go to the cross, Satan is done. And then what will be your excuse? There is none. There is no excuse. Lighten up. It's okay. It's going to get better. Okay. So we're going to reverse this condition to become spiritually physical. Once you become born of the Spirit and the water, your thoughts and your feelings begin to be changed. So the thoughts and the feelings represented in this little fountain that's producing the waves of energy from your being will become the collective consciousness of the spirit realm. And when it goes into the spiritual dimension as those waves of magnetic charges and electrical thoughts, it will return to you all the good things God has for you from the beginning. No effort. No effort. It's just being conscious of what you think and where you are every moment. And even when there's obstacles, solutions were already there. Because your mentality doesn't change overnight. Your mentality has been passed down through conditionings from generation to generation to generation to generation. And your unconscious response to things, you start to become awake when you make that response. And you don't judge yourself, you just observe. You begin with love. You love yourself, you love everything around you, and one day you wake up and the fruit of that love becomes faith like you've never had. And I don't mean faith that you have to ask for something, faith that becomes that magnetic pull that brings you what you need before you ask. Even this world has a name for that. They call it serendipity. You know what that means? Just stuff that comes out of nowhere. You can live your life serendipitously when you have a conscious understanding of what you're doing all the time. Because being present is in the kingdom of God. Because there's no past, there's no future, there's only present. So now we get a different picture of what the rebirth is. God, Jesus is talking about entering the womb of Jesus to become Christ. You see, most people's life has been affected because of the covenants they have made with the various people in the scriptures. God used covenants to bring in his son into the earth. He started obviously with Noah because he had to get his people from the world that was being flooded into a safe place. And then he went with Abraham, which was one of the most important covenants God ever made. Because God already knew what was going to happen before it happened in this dimension. And we saw last night the first prophecy given was in Genesis by God himself, when he told the serpent or Satan that his head was going to be crushed by one that was coming. And this whole Bible is one book. It's not divided. It's a prophecy of God fulfilled by his son. But as I said a minute ago, when Adam relinquished his authority, Satan took what I call the second heaven. That number comes because Paul said something about the third heaven. But the duality mentality that is this dimension, good, bad, right, wrong, all of that comes from that sin of Adam. So everything in this system is derived from that duality mentality. And the covenant he made with Moses to bring the law into the earth is the covenant that everyone still abides by in churches. And the foundation for that covenant is judgment. You judge everything that doesn't line up with your idea of good and bad, right and wrong, and that's the way it is. Because God knew that the student of the law was Satan. That's why he used to appear before God and condemn all of the people that were following God. Remember him telling God about how bad Job would be if he left him? That was going on for generations. So the mentality in the second realm, which is the mentality of human beings born into this dimension, was infiltrated into the bloodlines of all people, passed through the blood. That's why when Jesus was born, he didn't have the blood of his father. Physically, he had the blood of his heavenly father. So the greatest part of your new birth is the transfusion that Jesus gives you when you're birthed through him of the father's blood. So when we're reborn through the womb of Jesus, we get the father's blood to eliminate that generations of cursed blood from Satan. God wanted to make sure you had no excuse for not living in the heavenly realms that you were designed to live in. So we know that Satan was the student of the law. So God had to make sure Moses brought the law into the land, which is being used in every culture throughout this planet. In one form or another, it's in every judicial system, every legal system, every political system. It is the form of the law. And we know how corrupted the law was because of the Babylonian influence that the Israelites got after they were taken captive. So all of those were temporary covenants all the way through David. The everlasting covenants began with Jesus of Nazareth. And salvation was the key for redemption that God had promised in the Garden of Eden. All of us was redeemed by what Jesus did on the cross. You don't have to earn your salvation. It was done. You just have to believe it was done. And that, unfortunately, is where most people in the church reside, at the foot of the cross, thanking God for his salvation. But the greater thing happened at resurrection. Because salvation couldn't change your mentality. You could still be saved and scared to death. And that's where people are. That's why they're waiting for Jesus to come take them out. But Jesus didn't stop there. He says, I'm going to give you the next step that makes you rulers over this dimension if you could just understand it and believe it. I can overcome your worst fears by shedding this death belief. So he destroyed death along with the devil. Just clean the chessboard. Now you are resurrected in him where you began. But I can't wave a wand and make you mentally capable of understanding that, because you've been trained to zoom in to your physical condition and that image you've created and all the circumstances to validate it. And every validation comes with an excuse. Resurrection requires a mentality that is outside your mental thinking today. I don't care if the sky is falling. It doesn't affect your spiritual being. Because when you were born of the Spirit, you died. Jesus said it plainly. You want life? Die. He was talking about the image has to die. I know, but all these years I've spent getting this PhD and I've got all this money and I'm driving this sports car and look at my model wife. Come on, I've got it all. The reality of the physical dimension comes from the spirit dimension, which is where you began, and everything that is came through you because it came through him. You're not going to miss one experience if you stay spirit. You're going to have it in stereo. Or the next level, I've lost track what it is. The truth is, as a spirit being, you don't think the way you've been thinking for however many years. But that takes being conscious of what you're thinking about now. So we see how the Bible has created this dilemma that most people derive their doctrines from. They put this page called New Testament in there. All of this was created by man. And the sooner you become born of the Spirit, the more you recognize where you are today is the result of where you have been becoming because of the dimension you live in right now. Let me say that a different way. Who you are today is a snapshot of the way you were before you became flesh. In other words, if you see yourself as the waves, there is no way you can understand an image from this dimension. That's why when your flesh dissolves and you leave this body, there is no way you can communicate with the physical beings here, because this dimension is only alive for those who believe it's alive. The energy we use to fabricate our existence in this dimension is the energy this dimension uses to keep recirculating. This is how you're born in the spirit. You see, this energy field around you is the voltage that's inside your spirit. This is how you actually look to the spirit dimension. How's that for an image? How'd you like to see that in a mirror? But that's reality. Where you place your attention is where you focus this energy. And when you focus your energy on all the situations in the physical dimension, this energy becomes that energy. And that's where disease and all kinds of things happen inside the human body. Where you place your attention is where you use your energy. And the older you get, this energy field starts to diminish unless you are born of the Spirit. I made a little list here of things that you can tell that's taking you out of the spirit dimension. And these are reminders that when you are focused on the flesh, these are the kinds of things that trip your trigger. And when you're focused in the now, that's the kind of attitude and behavior you have in the zoom out. Okay, zoom in. This is the micro version. That's when your particle or flesh, you consumed with your self-image. You judge things good or bad, and you have a linear mentality. You know what a linear mentality is? You have a start and a finish. If you're zooming out, you recognize you are energy or spirit, and you remember wholeness in him. You remember that. And you don't see separation. You see wholeness. And instead of having a linear mentality, you have a multidimensional mentality, which means there is no end. There's no start and finish. There's just forever. In a zoom in, your senses determine your reality. And for every condition you find yourself in, you look for the reason, the cause and effect. And the greatest is the addiction to drama and chaos. When you zoom out, you understand reality is inside your body. You see the big picture. All is one. You're at rest in the midst of turmoil. You have emotions without anxiety. Emotions without anxiety. You can be joyful. You can be happy. You can jump up and down and shout because you know how it's turning out. You observe thoughts without judgment. When you zoom in, you trust the wisdom of this world. Your plans are for the worst case scenario when you're zooming in. You're fearful and negative, and you have no peace. When you zoom out, you practice the present moment. God talks about in the Genesis how man's work was completed in 6 days because he completed his work in 6 days. Make this your sixth day. because he entered the seventh day for rest. Make this your sixth day. The Antichrist spirit is the world's wisdom. So these are just little tools that'll remind you when you are zooming in or you're zooming out. Once you are born of the Spirit and you see the kingdom, you live zoomed out. Because the minute you choose to zoom in, you've lost that position in the spiritual dimension. And a practical aspect, when you have some kind of pain, you'll notice that when you go to observe the pain you have, you actually hold your breath. You ever notice? When you notice a pain in your body, you don't breathe. When you're zoomed out, your breathing and respiratory is at a steady pace. Just an observation. Now, so the scriptures are divided because they want you to believe that you have to fight and you have to do something all the time. And you read the letters they put in from Paul in here, which very good things. But his covenant with Christ affected the way he believed at that point. When you make a covenant with Christ today, the information you have because of your relationship with Jesus will give you greater understanding than any letter from Paul in here. And that was the purpose of Christ resurrecting for every generation. Every generation needs to pass a new bloodline into the future generation that's not connected to the old covenant. You see, because Satan was ruling the second heavens for so many generations, there were people that believed they were possessed, that they were being run over by devils. In fact, that New Testament church that is talked about in Ephesians, so you remember God flooded the first earth because of the imaginations of people were evil all the time. God brought salvation to the Jews through the law. The Gentiles were still contaminated just as the early people that were flooded were contaminated. But Paul and the early disciples were equipped with the Holy Spirit to cast out the devils that were in those people that the early people that were flooded didn't have. That doesn't mean the devil is still loose possessing people. That just means the church has missed the boat when it comes to understanding the resurrection of Christ. He didn't leave you victims of some devil, but his salvation couldn't change the way you think. That is your responsibility unless you want to blame it on a devil. So the reality is the power that Christ has, you have unless you choose not to believe. And that's the end of the story. How many want to worship? Let's worship.